Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Grant and Danny kicking off the second half of our four-hour show. 12:45, Charlie Slows talking Nationals. 1 o'clock, things we got right, NFL Week 1, things we got wrong from the first weekend in football. Let's get you your Beltway Blitz.
The Redskins.
Start you off on the gridiron with Craig Hoffman, our Redskins insider and reporter. Craig, Monday's Jay Gruden press conference. A lot of meat on that bone. What stood out to you?
I think the clarification on some of Doxson's stuff was interesting, and most specifically what the plan is moving forward. They're going to double his snap count, basically. Basically, it was Jay saying he's got to earn it, but he's going to earn it. So expect to see Doxson. It was 20 snaps, I believe, was the final number on Sunday, somewhere between 35 and 40. Junior Gallette's snap count should double as well, somewhere between about 15 on Sunday, should be up near 30, according to what Jay said on Monday. So those, to me, getting more talent on the field, something we talked about in this spot yesterday, is a good thing, and there seems to be a plan to do so.
All right, so do they need to run the football more? Because I don't buy it. I think they need to do something effectively. The idea that they just need to increase that run count to satisfy somebody, just beating their head against the wall. They're not a good running team. I think they need to pass to set up the run and change it up. They can't do it like everyone else, Craig. Do you just expect the run count to go up just to try to prove critics wrong?
No, I expect the run count to go up because I think it's better. You and I just disagree here. I think that there is benefit to running your head into the wall for a little bit, knowing that wall might eventually break. And it's kind of the old saying, and that if you have, you know, 6 hours to sharpen an axe, or to cut down a tree, spend 4 hours sharpening the axe. You might get 3 yards of carry for a while, but letting your offensive lineman come forward and fire off the ball and to have that physicality wear against the defensive line, is it going to be 3 yards in the first half? Yeah, but it might be six by the third quarter and 20 by the fourth. Not to mention it shortens the game for your defense, which, while I'm about a quarter into the coach's film, so far so good for them. And I think overall they played well on Sunday and are a better unit. They're still not elite. You don't want them on the field forever. No defense wants to be on the field forever. So there are benefits, and not to mention taking some off Kirk's plate, that I think is better. I also think that there were more run calls. It's worth mentioning, I should say, that there were more run calls than 13 on Sunday, or 14 if you count the read option that Kirk had. Kirk checked out of a lot of stuff, and some of them was the right call, and some of them he probably should have stayed and run.
Yeah, I got no problem with changing things at the line based on looks. I never will. 13 is just not enough one way or the other when it's a one-possession game. I think we could probably all agree
on
that.
Here's the other thing, Grant. They can give him run checks, right? You can call two plays in the huddle and have both of them be runs. If it's too busy inside, then to make it an outside zone call. Mix in some draws and even some more screen work, I think, even though it's a pass. I think that would help slow down the pass rush if this offensive line is going to continue to struggle.
I'll tell you, one area going back and watching I love defensively was the inside linebacking core. Mason Foster tackled well, played well. Zach Brown's an animal, the likes of which they haven't had in a while. And I also like the cornerbacks. I thought Breland and Norman both acquitted themselves beautifully against a couple of, you know, highly touted receivers that just came to Philadelphia.
Yeah, I agree. I think that both those guys played pretty well. I think there's a couple of plays where Breland might have been a little out of whack, but he had enough plays to make up for it, and overall it was very solid. I thought Norman was great, and has been great in everything I've watched so far. But the inside linebackers, I mean, it's just such a different game for them than what they had last year. And I think Will Compton was good last year, but just what we're seeing so far in the preseason from Foster at the mic and from Brown at the Mo has been really, really impressive. And one of the things that is special about Zach Brown is his ability to get through the line of scrimmage. And it's not just because of his speed. I actually talked to him about it after the game on Sunday, and he said he played running back growing up. And so he kind of understands how to get small through a hole and then burst out the other side. And that's where his athleticism takes over. The ability to re-accelerate hard enough to not bounce off a running back as big and powerful as LeGarrette Blount. And that was on full display on Sunday. I actually just put up on my Twitter page a GIF of one of those plays where he just shoots the gap and the guard is going, oh no, he's already behind him by the time the guard realizes that Brown's getting into the even coming towards the backfield. So you know, he's a different kind of guy than they've had, and that was on full display Sunday, and you'd certainly hope that continues, and they're going to need it to continue against Todd Gurley.
Craig, are we just in for this now? Because last year, or the last couple of years, really, under McVay, correctly, the offense worked inside out. Reed, Crowder, they're two best options, in my opinion, consistently down and down out. It matches what Kirk does well. This week, it looked like Jay just couldn't wait to unleash A.J. Green Part 2, a.k.a. Terrell Pryor, and all the targets outside, down the field, etc., where Jordan Reed's blocking on a bunch of third downns. I need 86 to be the focal point. Is that a paradigm going to shift, or do you expect more of what we did in week one?
I think that they'll shift it some. I do think the offense will have a little bit more outside maybe than it did under Sean, but I do think that Jay realizes he's got to get Jordan Reed the ball. And you know, I one of the plays I just watched where it's the ball where the Kirk winds up going up the seam to Crowder on a third down. It's third and six. And if it's third and six and you can get Jordan Reed on a choice route and it's against a cover zero blitz, so there's no help anywhere, why would you put him at a four-yard deficit to start? Like, why are you giving the defense a four-yard head start? That doesn't make sense to me to put him in the backfield there, have him run his choice route there. He still got open because he's Jordan Reed, and he's amazing. And he still got open, and Kirk still probably should have looked that way, and they would have gotten the first down. Instead, he tries to go for the big shot play up the seam to Crowder. But I'm with you, Danny. I don't understand why, when you have that kind of weapon, you don't maximize it because it's just so unbelievably effective.
Thanks so much, Craig. We appreciate it, buddy.
You got it.
See you, pal.
Let's talk some baseball on the Blitz.
A National.
Craig Heitz covers the Nats for us on the Fan Day off yesterday to celebrate a division title. How about the job Dusty Baker's done this season? In the past, you kind of knew when the Nats stayed healthy, they'd win 96, 95 games. If they had injury problems, maybe it'd be in the mid-80s. This year, they had the injury problems. He kept that bench ready to go.
He kept the bench ready to go. And the other part about this, too, going forward now toward the playoffs, is just what is that bench going to look like? But when you think about losing, you know, Adam Eaton at the beginning of the year, and then Jason Worth later, and they lost Stras for a while. They've lost, Max Scherzer for a couple of starts during the course of the year. But you see other guys coming in and stepping up. I mean, if you'd have told me that Wilmer Defoe would have done what he's done for this club when he did get a chance to play, filling in for Trey Turner, I would have said, no, I don't think you're going to see that kind of production. But, you know, Adam Lind, Howie Kendrick's probably one of the biggest pickups for this club, during the course of the year. And then when the kids came up from Syracuse, they fit in too. So all of this has been orchestrated by Dusty and how to use these guys, and obviously injuries were part of it, but you got to give Dusty a lot of credit for having this club where it is.
What's the Bryce Harper update, Heisty? What do we know?
Well, what we know is he was able to come out on the field and celebrate the other day. He did start, walking a little bit better. He's doing some exercises with the leg. The bone bruise, obviously, is the issue, along with the calf strain. And until he can get running on that, we're not going to know. And, of course, we got about 2.5-3 weeks left, but we're not going to really know just how close he is, and we hope to ask Dusty about that today before the game. Did you see how he is progressing? Bryce isn't around a whole lot, although he was for the celebration. So the only time we've talked to him about it was before the last road trip, and at that time he hadn't even started running yet.
Craig Heist covers the Nats for us on 106.7 The Fan. Do you think that the Dodgers' issues right now, as they get ready to come to Nats Park on Friday, are actual, authentic, that they carry over into the playoffs? Or is this just a team with nothing to play for that's scuffling a bit?
No, I can't imagine that if you're Dave Roberts at this point, you're real happy about losing 14 of 16 or whatever it is at this point and having the losing streak that you're currently on. I would have to say there's a bit of concern there. Now, can it be like a light switch and they can turn it on? Well, some teams can, some teams don't. I mean, that's the nature of the game. But I can't imagine that they're very comfortable right now, especially if you read some of the comments that Turner had the other day about, everybody talks about we're the best team in baseball. And right now, no, we're the worst team in baseball. So if he's taking it that way, it's interesting to see how many other people on that club is taking it that way. And it'll be interesting to see, especially if the Nats are able to shave a game or two off before they get here, what this weekend series is going to be about.
Nice. Do we get to have this luxury because the Nats clinched really, really early? Who's their best postseason matchup right now on paper? The teams they might end up playing. Let's say they do catch the Dodgers or they don't, whatever. Who's the team that if you're a Nationals fan, you most want to see in round one?
Well, the Rockies Diamondbacks thing with the one-game playoff or the one-game wild card, if that happens, I don't have a problem with that, but I would really like to see them match up against the Cubs, to be honest with you. I think that with them winning it all last year, that would be a good first round matchup for them because I don't think they're quite as good as they were last year, and they've struggled with their pitching at times this year, and I'm still a believer that the three guys, or maybe even a fourth guy that the Nats are going to send out there in the starting rotation are as good as anybody, and that's why I think that this is the year you will see this team at least get through the first round of the playoffs.
Ice-T, thank you as always, pal. Love having you on the Blitz.
All right, guys. See, take care.
That is the latest on the Nats. We'll get back into the Nationals with Charlie Slows at 12:45. Next, Jay Gruden says the Redskins got away from the run more than they would have liked to. Let's discuss how important the running game is for this group, which has dominated through the air the last couple seasons, and whether or not that changes this year. You're listening to The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.